21. That's the fastest song I know, so that's why I sung it. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I do appreciate Pastor calling me at the last minute and asking me to preach. It's a blessing. Amen. And that's why you always to be in season, out of season. Ain't that right? And I do appreciate and I hope that you, and I'll mention some things about Pastor even in the message tonight. But pray for him. He's had this for a month. And today he went back to the doctor. He still has the ear infection. He has still has the bronchitis and everything. And his blood pressure's up. And so the doctor said the next step is hospital x-rays. And so pray for him if you would. And he's not supposed to be out in the weather. And she said that she is condemning him to house arrest. So and so anyway, he needed to be there tonight. And he said, I hate to miss, but I think it's better if he rests and be able to be here on Sunday. And so anyway, pray for him if you would. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Of course, the book of Chronicles is just chronologizing the events of the children of Israel as a nation, as a people. And we have a summary of the end life of David, the life when he is a king and he's almost at the end of his reign. And we see that sometimes we think the greatest sin that David committed was with Bathsheba. But you know, David committed other sins too. He was human and he committed other sins. And we see kind of one of the last ones, I guess you would say, almost in his life, but of numbering the people without God's permission. And so notice what happens here, and I hope that you'll see some things that God has showed me in these verses. Verses 1 through 7, we'll look at him in chapter 21. The Bible says, and Satan stood up against Israel. I like that. And Satan stood up against Israel. Satan was against Israel, by the way. Somebody said, well, why is Satan so against Israel? Because he was against that seed. He was against the seed that was promised that in the Garden of Eden that there was going to be a heel that's going to bruise his head, that seed. And so he's always tried to stop or really just try to cut off that seed line that is coming through there. So he stood against Israel. Now notice how he does this and provoked David, notice this, to number the people. And David said to Joab, he said, and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Bathsheba even to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, and he said this, he said, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord, the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? In other words, he's telling him, he's saying, David, remember one thing. And he's saying, and I believe with all humility and reverence to the king, because if he didn't, he'd lose his neck. But he says, king, he says, I want you to think about this. This is not your people. This is God's people. Basically is what we're going to look at here in a little bit. Notice what he says. He says, why then dost thou, my Lord, require this thing? He said, why will he be cursed a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab, and wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all the Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave to the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew the sword. That's 1.3 million. Isn't that amazing? There's a lot of men, wasn't it? And they said possibly around 6 million in the whole kingdom at that time. Notice he says the men that drew the sword in Judah was 4,000 score and 10,000 men that drew the sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he smote Israel. So tonight, I want to preach on this subject. And it goes back to verse 1. And we're going to look at some things here. When Satan stands. When Satan stands, by the way, he's looking to stand against each one of us. He's looking to try to conquer us individually, but he knows how to get to us individually. And he shows us kind of one of his tactics through this story of David and how he gets to David. And so after we pray, I want to preach on that subject of when Satan stands, we need to know how to stand against him. And I think we'll see it here in these scriptures and some other. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. Now, Father, I realize that, Lord, I'm nothing without you. And, Lord, I don't even want to try. to preach or to talk, to sing, anything without your presence and power. And so, Father, you know I've yielded myself, and God, I continually yield myself even now to your will and to your way tonight, that you would just speak to your people. God, that you would use your word and your Holy Spirit to, Lord, just to prick our hearts tonight. I pray that you would just take your word and multiply it upon us. And God, help us to be reactive to your word and not just passive, but God, we would act upon what we hear. And we ask that you would help our pastor tonight. Pray that you would heal him, touch him tonight. Bless him with all spiritual blessings and physical blessings. We thank you for this people. God, what an honor it is to stand here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you get honor and glory for all the said and all that's done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have Satan. By the way, Satan can never stand without God giving permission for him to stand. Matter of fact, if you go and read this story in its entirety in 2 Samuel chapter 24, the first verse of 24:1 tells us that God, that his anger was kindled and that he was the one who allowed this to happen. He allowed Satan to come in and to wreak havoc because of the sin of David, but God allowed this. We know that in the life of Job, that Satan presented himself before God, and of course God gave him permission, and God lifted the hedge off of Job and said, "Go ahead, listen to me. When Satan comes to you, it doesn't get God, doesn't catch God by surprise and go, 'Oh, I didn't know Satan was down there bothering so-and-so.'" God allowed it to happen for a reason. By the way, remember also, God doesn't tempt us with evil. God cannot do that. God tempts us to do right. And he puts trials in our life so we'll realize his value in our life. But we see here that we see David is toward the end of his reign here, and God's anger is kindled toward him, and Satan was given the opportunity to go after Israel. But he does not go about it circumspectly. He does not go about it in kind of a stupid manner. He goes in it very specific in how to destroy. Go back to verse 1. It says, "And Satan stood up against Israel." He was standing up against Israel, but notice where he went to. He went to David. The first point is very simple. Satan first goes to the head. Satan first goes to the head. He knew that in order to get Israel, he would have to get David. He knew that if he could get David, he could get Israel. Can I remind us, fathers, that if he can get the dad, he can get the children. If he can get the boss, he can get the company. If he can get the pastor, he can get the church. We must be careful and we must be diligent about Satan's trickery and about his tactics in our lives, how he stands against us and how he comes. He comes to the head and he goes, and notice verse 1 again, it says, "And provoke David to number Israel." That word provoked is the same New Testament word we get for entice. I believe that's what the Bible says when you're enticed and drawn away of your own lust. By the way, that's what Satan does. He entices us. He provokes us. Satan came to David and he knew how to get into David's life. And we're going to look at that here in a little bit. But he noticed that if I can take the head, I can get the body. Isn't that true? You take an old snake, the greatest way to kill that snake is to cut his head off. The body may still move a little bit, but it's non-effective anymore. You take a bee and you pull his stinger out, he's no longer a threat to you. Can I tell you that Satan understands how to go after a church? He goes after a church through going through this pulpit. He knows if he can wreak havoc. And by the way, I'm not preaching this tonight that pastor's having problems and going through a hard time. Every time I preach something like this, like, "What's pastor going through? What do we need to do?" I'm like, "No, I don't know of anything. There may be. I know the staff he has to deal with. And some other people in here tonight, but I'm just saying that Satan is very smart in how he goes about to destroy something. He knows if he can discourage our pastor, if he can come and buffet our pastor, and if he can come and provoke our pastor, that he knows that he can tear this church down. I've seen it time and time again. Churches are building and growing and growing and growing, and Satan's getting madder and madder and madder. And guess what happens? He goes after that pastor, and if he succeeds in that, I've seen them churches just, they fall apart. Why? Because you take the shepherd away, the sheep scatter. That was the problem of the Old Testament. Jesus came to Ezekiel, he came to Jeremiah, he came to all the prophets and said, "My people are like sheep without a shepherd." He said there's no guidance in their life, and they're just aimlessly just going about in life. He said they need a leader. And God knows that if Satan knows if he can take our leaders. By the way, if he can take our president, if he can take our governors, if he can take our city council, if he can take our mayors and provoke them in such a manner, he knows that our country will begin to fall. Ta-da! He's done a pretty good job, hasn't he? By the way, he started way up yonder in the White House, and he's come all the way through our local cities. But I'm telling you what, he's after the church more than ever. I think government was an easy one for him. But the church is a little bit harder because the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ain't that good? But he knows that in order to wreak havoc in the church, he goes after the head. He goes after the very prominent one that is there. By the way, I had a class one time whenever I was going through EMS school, and they were talking about how to defuse a situation. I listened at this class because I'd been in a few situations. I wish I would have had the class first. And they always said, when you get there and there is a situation that needs to be diffused, you look for the leader. And if you can calm him down, you can calm the people down. Second thing they told you, too, is to find the biggest guy there and get him on your side. I do that also. But can I tell you is that it's the same way as Satan knows if he can create havoc in the church through our pastor, or if he wants to create havoc in the church, he goes through the pastor. And he'll try to destroy the pastor and his family, and he'll work his way on down until he gets every last one of us. My friends, I don't trust in my pastor as my Savior. I trust my pastor as being my shepherd and leading us as a flock. And I'm telling you, he's vitally important to the economy of God. If it wasn't, God wouldn't have mentioned pastors in the Bible. If not, all of us would be preaching tonight. It'd be mass chaos. God said he's not the author of confusion, right? But can I tell you is that Satan is after our leaders. Satan knew to go right to David. I love the way that verse reads. It said, and Satan stood up. If you can imagine that, he was going to stand up against Israel. Well, he didn't stand up against the multitude. He stood up against the one that was leading them. Now notice the second thing. Not only does Satan go to the head, first go to the head, but secondly, he goes for the heart. Notice what happens. He provoked David. He enticed David. And David said, you know what? God had promised to bless my kingdom. He had promised to multiply it and to bless it with all the blessings of heaven. He said, I need to check on that and make sure God's still holding up his end of the deal. We need to go out there and count them. By the way, it wasn't wrong to count the people. In Exodus 30, they did it. But God had told them to do it. And he told them, when you do it, take up an offering and use it as a sacrifice. You can read that. But this time, God didn't give him permission. You know why? Because this wasn't David's people. This was God's people. And only God can give the order to go count them. Now you say, what's the harm in counting? And well, David was wanting to see how big his kingdom was getting. He was wanting to see how many mighty men he had. He wanted to see if another enemy come up against him, if the Philistines come up against him, that, hey, we got this many guys. And by the way, that's good coffee drinking talk. Well, you know what? You may have 70,000, but I got 81,000. It always makes them feel better to have more, right? Well, you got 33-inch tires on your truck. Well, I got 45s on mine. You know, you got a 357. You know, I got a 50 caliber. I mean, that's how we are, isn't it? It comes down to a pride. By the way, if Satan knew that he could come and set pride in David's heart, he knows, by the way, pride is the absence of humility. And an absence of humility is really where God says he give grace to the humble. And David needed all the grace he could get, and yet he decided to allow pride to come in his heart. By the way, that is the way Satan works. You go over to Matthew chapter 4 and you see when Jesus comes on the scene and Satan goes to tempt him, right? How does Satan go to tempt Jesus? Well, he tempts, he said, you know what, Jesus, just look out here. You see all these kingdoms? Guess what? I'll let them all be yours. I'm glad Jesus was sinless. I'm glad that he was not enticed. I'm glad he was not provoked by what Satan said. Matter of fact, he fought back with the Word of God, didn't he? And he basically, Satan used the same tactic on the Lord Jesus Christ as he did David here. He knew that if he could get David's heart, by the way, David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. But he knew that if he could get David's heart to fail, if he could get David's heart just for a moment, he'd already got David's mind before. He'd already got his eyes. When Bathsheba was bathing, right? He'd already won one battle with him. He knew he could get him through the lust of the eyes. But now he said, I think I can get him through the pride of life. David, go out there and number all those people and look how big your kingdom is. You know what? We must be careful with pride in our life. I would say, even as a pastor, sometimes pride is an issue. It really is. You know? And you have to be careful. When I pastor, I had to constantly check myself. When God was really blessing things, I had to make sure I took myself out of the equation and gave God all the glory. And by the way, that is it. And I'm thankful for a pastor we have. I mean, we have a wonderful church. I love going places with pastor. And he says, man, our church is growing. We got people coming out of the bushes. I mean, we don't even know where they're coming from. We got them coming from other states. Well, why is that? Because we're such great people? No, that's because God's just blessing. Amen. And all glory goes to God. And you'll hear pastors say that, man, we don't know what's going on. It's just, God's just blessing. But very soon, that pride could snap in one of our hearts and say, you know what? Maybe I do deserve this. By the way, you know how you know that David had pride in his heart? Poor Joab went to give him some counsel. The captains of the armies tried to give David counsel. You read that over in 2 Samuel. And David didn't listen to it. By the way, one of the worst statements we ever say, and I think they made a commercial out of it, I got this. I think it was an insurance commercial or something. I got this. You know what? Y'all don't know what I want to do. I got this. By the way, you read over there in the book of Proverbs, a wise man seeks counsel. By the way, there's a story in the Bible where a man listened to the young men that didn't know what was going on, and he forsook the counsel of the wise men. And guess what? It got him in trouble, didn't it? And by the way, it can do that to us. I love our pastor. I love pastors that I know that seek counsel from other pastors because they realize they don't have all the answers. And by the way, none of us do. We all need counsel. We all need to say, you know what? By the way, it just irks me to no end when somebody comes and says, you know what? We're having marital problems, but we got it. You ain't got it. You know why? Because ain't nobody figured out marriage yet other than to just let God have it. Right? I mean, I've seen some pretty good marriages in my life, but I've never seen a perfect one. There's going to be a perfect marriage one day. We're waiting on that one. But I promise you is that we all fall underneath this umbrella of Satan coming and attacking us with pride. We must be careful in this area. Counting the people, David sought it for pride's sake. He said, bring me the number. Go count the people. I want to know how big my kingdom is. We must be careful. Thirdly, Satan goes for the hands. Notice, because of David's sin, and when you get over on in verse 8 there and on down, God comes to him. Of course, David repents of this. Hallelujah. In the 10th month, David should have repented, but it took 10 months to count the people. And at the end, David finally got convicted in his heart. Hallelujah. That's what happens to saved people. Whenever they sin, they get convicted. A lost person, when they sin, they get nothing. They may feel a little guilty if they get caught. But there's no repentance in their heart. Right? But listen, here's what happened to David. David repented of himself again. David said, let me write another Psalm 50. Lord, search me, try me, know my heart. That's what happened in David's life. David repented. God came to him. He said, David, I'm going to give you three choices. And he lays out the three choices. He said, basically, it boils down to two. I'll let the enemy come and attack you, or I'll take judgment upon you 3 days. David said, I'll take the last one. Because David goes on down, he talks about, I believe it's over in verse 13, he talks about the reason he chose the Lord to bring judgment upon him for 3 days, because of the mercy of the Lord. He says, because of your mercies. He knew that the enemy would have mercy on him. But he knew God would. But through this, we know that at least 70,000 men were killed by the hand of this death that came upon his people. Can I remind you that whenever Satan comes, he wishes to destroy something, he goes for the head. He goes for the very heart of the matter. To do what? To get the hands. That's us. He wants to get the people that surround him. David, because of David's sin, we know that at least 70,000 men lost their life that were innocent, that were not even a part of this sin. I know people all across America where a church has fallen, a pastor has fallen. And guess what? It affected these people. I pastored a church like that one time. I'll be at that church this Saturday for a funeral. And can I remind you that what happens here affects there. But don't stop there. What happens there affects here. So what are we to do? What can we do? Well, let's just give up, preacher. Satan's coming. He's going to attack. He's going to stand up. He's going to stand up against us. Well, what do we do? Well, David said, Lord, I'm sorry. He repented of him. He repented of his sin. By the way, that's a good start. But you know how to stop it even before it gets there? You know the answer. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. Very simple tonight. That's all I got. Verse 10. So when Satan stands against you, what do you do? Well, we see that he came to David. He came to the head. He attacked the very heart of the situation to get to the hands, to get to the mass people. By the way, Satan is all about destruction. Seek and destroy. But notice what happens we see in the New Testament. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10. He said, finally, my brethren, here it is. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. By the way, verse 10 is an absence of what? Pride. Pride says, I got it. Humility says, God, you got it. Verse 10 shows us humility. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not in your might. Your pride says, I got this. Men, you ever do that? Honey, let me pick that up for you. You pick it up and 10 minutes later you're going, I wish I wouldn't have done that. You know, we're men are very susceptible to pride. We're built that way. You try to get a man to go to the doctor, kind of like our pastor, and he says no. Go to the doctor, please. Well, guess what? I had to go to the doctor earlier this week too. After my wife's like, you need to go to the doctor. Don't we hate doing that? Why? Because we got this. Then we're laid up in the bed for 6 days and think, maybe I should listen. You know what? David should have listened to the counsel of his friends and of the counsel of the captains of his army. But he didn't. Why? Because he allowed pride to rise up in his heart. Notice verse 11. He said, put on the whole armor of God. By the way, there's not an option here. It's not a Happy Meal selection. It's like, I think I'll take the... I'll gird my loins for $2 and I'll, you know, the rest of it I'm fine. No, it's not a choice here. He said the whole armor of God. And by the way, he didn't say H-O-L-E. Whole in the armor. He said the whole armor. The whole thing. It's one thing. Now notice what happens here. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. So when Satan stands against you and you go, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. The Bible tells you to put on the whole armor of God and to trust in the might and in the power of God and say, God, I don't got this. Lord, I can't do this, but Lord, I'm going to stand having your armor on. And guess what? God will stand with you. Whew. Back whenever I used to play around with firefighting, there was a very important part of firefighting. And it's called put on your PPE, it's personal protective equipment, okay? And by the way, those pieces of that equipment are not optional. Found that out one time. We had a house fire call, and I'd been trained and went through all that, schooling and all. And I got there, and I got in a hurry. I got a little excited. Fire was raging. It was like a movie. And I felt like I was going to play on Backdraft, whatever that was. Man, I got there, and the fire was burning. I got my pants on, my boots on, my coat on. I put my helmet on, I put my my breathing apparatus on, and I grab the hose and I'm ready to go. I get inside the house, I got my helmet on, I got my goggles on, I'm going in there, and I get in there and start fighting fire, and stuff starts dripping down the back of my neck. I forgot one piece of my equipment. It's a hoodie that you wear that tucks down into the back of your gear. And it keeps things from like hot roofing from dripping down your neck. Yeah, it's still back there because I forgot one piece of it. By the way, Satan will find that one area in your life that he can get in and that he can touch that nerve in your life. David's one time was the lust of the eye. Now this time he found that the void in David's armor where? In pride. Can I tell you, put on the whole armor of God. When you wake up in the morning, put it on. When you go to bed at night, put it on. Leave it on. And don't go out and say, I got this, God. No, that's called pride. Humility is saying, God, I don't got this. And by the way, this is free. Is that we're here to help each other. To bear each other's burdens. Book of Nehemiah, how did they build the walls in such a quick time? Because they worked together. There was those who bore burdens, those who worked, those who wore it all together. And can I tell you is that the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, help them which are not. I paraphrase that. But that's what we're to do. We're to help people and put on the whole armor of God. Notice what he says, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not, we don't wrestle against each other, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole. He says it again. But notice what he says, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, what did he say? Stand. The last thing Satan wants you to be when he's done with you is standing. But can I tell you, if you stand in your might and in your power, when he gets done with you, you'll be on all fours begging God to take your life. But if you stand in the strength and in the power of God, and having on the whole armor of God, when Satan's done with you, you're still going to be standing. By the way, when you stand with God and God stands with you, and he'll strengthen you. He'll encourage you. And the Word of God, guess what? It'll help you. It's the only offensive weapon we have. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And by the way, there's a last phrase there in verse 18 that's pretty important too. Praying. By the way, while you're standing, you might as well pray. You ain't got nothing else to do. Amen. You know? You're standing before the firing squad of Satan. The only thing you can do is pray and say, God, help me. By the way, prayer ought to be a continual thing. Just like that fire of incense in the holy place, that it burnt continually. You know, it burnt continually to show the prayers of the saints. And of course, in the book of Revelation, it shows us that as a picture also. That it comes up as a sweet-smelling savor. That ought to be us. The strength that we have is found in prayer. And saying, God, by the way, prayer, by the way, it just keeps going back. You know what prayer is? Prayer is humility. Prayer is saying, God, I don't got this. God, I need your help. We need the strength of the Lord to be able to stand and having done all, to keep standing. When Satan stands, you stand too. By the way, that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't bow down to Satan when he took him up that exceeding high mountain. He stood. He stood with the Word of God. He didn't bow down to Satan. Can I tell you that if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to stand? And by the way, you're going to have to stand time and time again. Matter of fact, you read over in Matthew chapter 4. It talks about that the devil departed from him, but for a season. By the way, you're going to stand and you're going to win that battle. And you better not allow pride to get in there right then and say, I won that one. Oh, buddy, you be careful. Satan will be back. I promise you, he's like a coal. He just keeps coming back. He never leaves us alone, does he? But I'm glad we can stand in this evil day. Having done all, we can stand. David stood in times of battle. David stood in times of adversity. David stood whenever he was being attacked by his own family. David stood in those times, but Satan kept watching. And he saw that place, that little void in his armor. And he went after his pride. And he got him. He went after the lust of the eyes. And he got him. By the way, before chapter 21 of Chronicles, if you read before then, David was already kind of in a mess. He had caused some civil wars to break out in his own country. David was at the end of his reign, was kind of headed downward. Can I tell you, that is the direction we go. When we start heading down, Satan just starts coming, and he starts pounding, he starts pounding, he starts pounding. Why? Because if he can take the head. Dad, if he can get you. There's some dads here tonight that need to stand up and say, you know what, not my family. Not me. There's some pastors and churches all across America that need to stand up and say, no, not our church. We're going to stand against it. Against what? Stand against the devil. Because he's trying to attack on every hand. Let's stand tonight. After we pray, we'll sing hymn 118. But Chad's going to come lead us on that. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. Lord, thank you that we can stand in this day, Lord, with your strength and with your power. Lord, tonight we have no strength of our own. Lord, with you, all things are possible. Lord, we can do nothing without your strength, without your power. Father, I pray tonight that you would give us just a conviction in our heart to stand. And Lord, maybe tonight there's people here that Satan has just been attacking and he's just been buffeting them even today and this week. God, I pray tonight that you would strengthen them. I pray that you would just see that, Lord, no matter how long the attack lasts, that they just stand. Keep their sword out and pray and just continue to trust you. God, not allow Satan to find that void in the armor. God, keep on the whole armor. And Lord, help us to do that. Lord, we ask you to bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing hymn 118, I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
You need to come tonight. Come on.
I need thee every
hour. Maybe Satan's just pounding away.
Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
Thank you. Maybe seated.